This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Tom Wilmer reporting from the hills near Santa Barbara. And we're here with
Chad McKella,
Craig McKella,
Cindy McKella.
Long time ago, when you were a baby, your family started a legendary olive company here in the county.
Yeah, my parents are the founders of the Santa Barbara Olive Company originally. They grew it into one of the largest olive businesses in the world, really. Really started out of a trailer and out of a garage, you know, hands-on. My father was working, like you mentioned, out of a garage by himself while my mom was spending her days bringing the money in for the household so that they could actually try and start a business, luckily, and working very, very hard. And they were able to grow that into one of the largest olive businesses in the United States. You know, this is back in the day when they were driving around a van and hand delivering into stores and everything was in person. They weren't emailing back and forth and Zooming. That's for sure. No Zoom meetings back then.
So at some point you guys sold the family label.
Exactly.
But you're still making olive oil and doing olives.
Correct. So, you know, my brother and I planted about 4,000 trees on this property with my father. That's what our family's known for. That's the history of the McKella family. It all revolves around, you know, the olive business and bringing olives here into California. So we wanted to stick with at least continue producing our olives and oil, but kind of bring it back to just really made on the ranch by our family, all organic, all local.
So all of your estate is organic?
100% organic. Yeah, we're really CCOF cool. Certified organic, everything you see here.
I knew about Santa Barbara olives and, you know, that whole history, but I knew nothing about your new iteration, which is called?
Olivison.
Olivison. And I kind of intuited it had something to do with a different part of the olive tree.
Exactly.
So Olivison is a plant-based botanical cream, gel, and spray that we developed to mitigate the symptoms that surround certain diseases like shingles, cold sores, even psoriasis, eczema, and other skin-related diseases.
And there was some serendipity in this evolution.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there was, because my wife developed shingles. I'll let her tell you about what happened.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. I was unfortunate enough to get shingles. I actually get reoccurring shingles due to stress. So we had been messing around with the leaf of the olive tree for years. One of our sons kept getting cold sores. We tried every botanical that was out there. We couldn't find anything that worked. So doing research, we found that for 1,000 years in India and China, they used the leaf of the olive tree. Well, that's serendipitous right there. We're sitting here on 4,000 olive trees. We went, you're kidding me. We tried everything, and all we have to do is go outside and pick some leaves.
So your husband made a little poultice for you, or a concoction?
Well, what happened was we started out doing the olive leaf and doing a cold sore treatment, but then I unfortunately broke out with shingles on my torso. So Craig, feeling sorry for me, he took the powder that we had already made in caplets, he mixed it up in a paper bowl, added some olive oil at the time. Now we use aloe vera as a transdermal. And then he put in some bee propolis, some St. John's wort, some other botanicals that we had from the Natural Products Expo, put it all together and smeared it on my shingles. Well, wow. The interesting thing is within a few minutes, it felt better. Mm-hmm. I just felt better. And by the next day, all my little blisters, which were hundreds on my torso, had absorbed this material. And when I went and I showered, 80% was gone. Wow. It was phenomenal.
So that was day one, but you didn't stop there. You started, and you can barely stop the freight train now, right?
That's right. So what we thought is that there's so many people that are suffering. There's not even a monograph in the FDA for shingles. Mm-hmm. So we started working with formulators and doing more research and working on it, and that was the birth of what we called Olivison, meaning olive leaf medicine. That's how we came up with the name.
That's really cool. And you can get it right on the Central Coast, right? Or across America.
Well, that's right. You can get it, of course, on our website or in most supermarkets, all Safeway, Vons, Albertsons, and most. What we'd really like you to go do is go take a look. We are fortunate enough that Walmart has put us in every single Walmart in the nation. One in three people suffer from this problem. So if you don't, you do have a friend or a relative that does.
Craig, tell us about the breadth of Olivacin.
We start off with this one item, which was a cold sore lip gel, we call it. That kind of morphed into a second item, which was a lip balm, which is just like a chapstick, but only it's medicated. And it has what we like to call the magic ingredients. There are five or six botanical ingredients that are in every one of our products that I might have mentioned to you in the previous interview that we have a patent. And so these are the patented ingredients that we received about 3 years ago from the US PTO, or Patent Office. So anyway, the second line item extension was the lip balm, which is kind of like a daily prophylactic that you use on your lips. And then the third item was a first aid spray. So it's a liquid version of what we just talked about.
Sunburn?
It can be used for scratches, scrapes, sunburn, mainly for things like bug bites, mosquito bites, good for poison oak, poison ivy, or any kind of plant-based reaction that people have. Children can use it, adults, anybody. So it was a sort of a multifunctional, multi-universal spray that might take the place of Bactine. And remember Bactine in the old days?
Sure, yeah.
Because this is a natural alternative to Bactine, a plant-based alternative. And then, you know, the item that sort of opened the doors was the shingles gel. And we guarantee that you're going to have some type of results from it. Many people have complete results. In other words, the rash is gone. But if you're not fully satisfied, we'll refund your money. That's how much we stand behind the product.
So you're eighth generation Santa Barbarian. Where could somebody get it? In Santa Barbara or San Luis Obispo or Paso?
Sure. Well, of course, any of your Walmarts, every Albertsons, every Safeway, every Vons. We're also in Lassen's, which is a local health food store.
Yeah.
And we're in Tri-County Produce. Walmart, they did show their faces, and we really...
Well, you were blown away, weren't you? Just a couple of months ago, you didn't know whether you were going south or north.
Yeah. Well, when you do the presentation, it's called, and in this case, Walmart, a very nice young man and young woman listened to my pitch, and we showed them everything that we had. They say thank you, and they say it's very interesting. Thing with Walgreens. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Very interesting.
So
we'll let you know.
You had no clue.
They give you exactly 30 minutes. They give you a set. I already have our presentation that we give to kind of the standard buyer, but companies like Walmart, Walgreens, they know that you have 20 to 30 minutes, and they know exactly how long that's going to take on that presentation. And so by the time you're done talking, like he said, it's pretty much thank you for the time, and you might hear from us, you might not.
Right.
So
I think
now we've got our fingers crossed.
In the Walgreens interview, which was this last Friday, was two young women. One did most of the question asking, and she was the main buyer. And when the 30 minutes exactly was up, she said succinctly, thank you very much, we have another meeting to go to, and they were gone.
The buyers seem to be getting younger and younger every year. Back in the day, I mean, when I first went to presentations, I didn't see anybody that was, you know, under 50, 60-year-old. It seemed like they've been in the industry for a long time, but, you know, the younger community is seeing the trends and kind of moving into that natural market and getting away from your harsh pharmaceuticals. And a lot of these buyers are mothers with young children and things like that, and they understand the harsh side effects that come with a lot of the treatments for most of these conditions. So it's nice to see a natural alternative where you don't really have to worry about, you know, about all that.
What was amazing, though, is that we've been doing this in this industry for retail consumer goods for 40 years, and most generally they'll give you a certain number of stores to test the product. You're not given, you know, a home run, and they gave us a home run and put us in every single Walmart in the United States. We also got in every single Safeway, Vons, Albertsons, Acme, Shaw's, Harris Teeter. The product is out there, and if you don't find it in your own pharmacy, make sure you ask your pharmacist, how come?
Yeah. They say, be careful what you wish for.
Well, you know, we had a bit of a scramble there because, as she said, we got in every Walmart. You know, the projection usually is, like she said, maybe even 1,000 stores is an amazing, you know, opening for you. We were originally told potentially 4,400, and we were all shocked. And then the order came through, and it was actually 4,700 stores, which is every, you know, just about every Walmart in the States. So we scrambled, but luckily we were well prepared, and we're very good at getting a team together really quickly. And if we have to work all night, we'll work all night. Lauren over here in the office, was a lifesaver for us as well. I mean, she brought in friends, we had family, we had my nieces and nephews and everybody here helping out, so we got it done.
Walmart has a motto, on time, in full. And if you're not on time and in full, you'll lose the account.
Wow, you're gone.
You're gone.
They keep Game a over.
They keep a scorecard
Make
on you.
Make or break.
Okay, I want to move into olive oil and olives. But before we go to that subject, to learn more about Olivason, do you have a one-stop shopping?
Well, go to our website. I mean, it's olivason.com. I think you'll find everything you want there. But you can also find us on platforms like Instagram, mm-hmm. Facebook. You'll see video on there. You'll see a lot of graphics and a lot of information.
Like
so,
us on Facebook.
Yeah, like us on Facebook, just like everybody says.
Who's doing the TikTok dance?
Well, actually, we just did launch a TikTok recently. It's not live yet, but we're working on developing it right now because we found out, actually, that a lot of the younger community is responding to shingles, of all things, on TikTok as a hype.
That's what your dad said. I thought it was an old people's disease.
No, a lot of people think it's an old people disease, you know, 50 and old. If you're 50 and older, you know, you may suffer. But the reality is that a lot of mothers out there know that their kids are suffering from shingles outbreak or an eczema or dermatitis or something like that. And even the younger community, millennials, everybody like that, it's out there. And if you go on TikTok and you even search for shingles, you'll see a plethora of related to it.
Do you guys ever have time to go to Santa Barbara Farmers Market or San Luis Farmers Market anymore?
Actually, it's funny you mentioned that. As we mentioned earlier, we're keeping the olive business alive, and both of my parents actually still go every Sunday to the farmer's market. They meet my two little nieces and my brother, and he brings his wife there. It's a very much a family event. All of their friends are pretty much at the farmer's market. That's what majority of their friends are these days, you know, and they work every single week, and they bring our homegrown olives and kind of keep that family business alive in that ring.
We not only go to the farmer's market, we are actually a booth at the farmer's market. So I don't want to,
yeah, right.
Why don't you
Sorry,
think
yeah,
it
no, would clarify.
Yeah, no, yeah,
my wife and I
can
every
visualize the booth.
Yeah, every Sunday we have a double booth at the farmer's market. We've had it for about 8 years now at the Sunday farmer's market in Goleta.
Cool.
But we also do, my brother does the Santa Barbara Farmers Market on Saturday, the State Street on Tuesday, Solvang on Wednesday, Carpinteria on Thursday.
North of the border to
San Luis Obispo. We're trying to venture up there and get a booth up there.
We have been up in San Luis and in that area in the past. Olives are heavy and they're hard to kind of transport, so we don't really have too many people working out in that area.
Anybody out there interested in working the farmer's market in San Luis, give us a call.
But we've done all of the events, and you know, we're involved in all of the wine events and the zoo events, you know, all those kind of food festivals and everything like that. The other thing I was going to say is, as far as information-wise, we're probably also one of the only companies that is in every Walmart that you call our business and you're actually going to talk to one of us. We don't have a voice machine. You don't talk to a robot. If you call our office, you're going to talk to one of the family here.
Or
Lauren, who's basically one of the family
now.
Adopted her, so. She's been through enough with us at this point.
Well, before we go, let's dig a little deeper on your world of olives and olive oil. Even without the leaves, you hear legendary stories of the medicinal qualities of olive oil, for example.
Absolutely. Olive oil traditionally has been used from the beginning of mankind. It was one of the very first trading tools on earth before money. They traded olive oil, and of course it's used for anointing and in religious ceremonies. The Mediterranean diet, remember when that came out? It was a very big thing. It was in all the magazines and television. And they put olive oil way at the top of the Mediterranean diet. And it's been there at the top, and there was a reason for that. And then when you look at the cholesterol values, the good versus bad cholesterol values of mono and polyunsaturated oils, you find that extra virgin or cold-pressed olive oil, which is the only thing that we carry, actually keeps the good cholesterol circulating in the bloodstream and helps to eliminate the bad cholesterol, which is remarkable.
Oh, wow. Win-win.
Yeah.
And anti-inflammatory, I mean, you name it.
Antioxidant qualities.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Olive oil, I mean, was even used to, you know, in the mummification process. It's that old. It's literally one of the oldest known medicines. It's what they gave you at the Olympics, the first award that you ever got at the Olympics. With the original Olympics, you got a gallon of olive oil at the end instead of a trophy or anything like that.
So think about it this way. We have probably 100 and probably more than 100 people that after the years and years and years of going and being at the farmer's market and offering our olive oil, they have regimes now. And they come and tell us things like, you know, I drink an ounce of olive oil on an empty stomach every morning. My doctor told me to. This happened, I don't know, maybe 3 months ago, where two people came the very same Sunday to visit us, and they said that their oncologist in Santa Barbara put them on an olive oil empty stomach diet
wow. mm-hmm.
in the morning because they were suffering from gastro cancer.
Wow.
And, a shot of olive oil on an empty stomach.
Now, normally physicians don't get into you know, these type of remedies, but they said, hey, the reason we've been buying your olive oil every week is because we're taking it as a medicine. It's an adjunct.
As a prophylactic, too.
As a prophylactic.
Exactly.
And when I asked, I said, well, you know, they said, our oncologist, which shocked my wife and I, like, you mean to tell me that a cancer doctor now is actually prescribing, you might say?
That's Lorenzo's oil.
Yeah, a diet of olive oil?
That's Lorenzo's oil. That's what the whole story is.
Yeah, the medicinal olive oil. And like I said, we've heard multiple times, a shot of olive oil on an empty stomach, it boosts your, you know, boosts your metabolism, boosts your immune system. It's an anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, before you eat, you take one shot of olive oil every morning, you won't get sick. I mean, that's the reality.
People tell us at the market, because, you know, I mean, that's where you get your one-on-one, what's going on, you know, mm-hmm. what's the pulse of what's really happening when people eat and taste your products or use your Olivacin, let's say, you know, right, your medicine. Right. And they'll come back repeatedly and say, in the case of the Olivacin medicine, they'll say, this is remarkable. Nothing's ever done what this has done for me.
Your wife included.
Yeah. So, and then when it comes to the olives and olive oil, mm-hmm. you get the very same reaction. People say, oh, my God, you know, I feel so much better. My hair, my nails, mm-hmm. my skin has improved since I started using your product.
On her hair. She has curly, very curly hair. You know, she's actually Aztec heritage. She's got very curly hair. And she was straightening it for years. She was straightening her hair. And I said, you're going to kill your hair. And finally, it stopped growing. She freaked out. And her doctor recommended trying some of her olive oil. So I whipped up a batch of our oil with lavender infusion, real heavy lavender infusion. And she started putting it back in her hair. And within 6 weeks, it had grown. She's had to actually go get a haircut again. The doctor said, I told you. That's all. Wow. She literally just put olive oil in her hair every night and left it there. And sure enough, her hair started growing again. So
a moment on 1A olive oil. First press virgin olive oil. Definition.
I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah,
because
your press there, is a silly thing to
there's,
say.
There's a lot of controversy about...
It's from unpollinated trees. She's joking. Virgin olives.
She's joking. So I give talks around the United States. I used to teach. And it's amazing how confused people are about this. Now, if you want to get really technical, yes, there are grades. There's fine, super fine. There are grades of extra virgin olive oil. And they all are related to the oleic... O-L-E-I-C, oleic acid level that's in the olive oil. There's also linoleic, myristic, palmitic. There's a lot of compounds inside of olive oil. Here's what I always teach. There's three things. It's cold pressed, it's unrefined, cold pressed, unrefined, and less than 1% oleic acid. Now, in our country, like the California Olive Oil Council, I believe that the threshold is 3%. So you can go all the way up to 3% and still be extra virgin. As you go down the oleic level, you get more into the superfine and the fine. Extra virgin olive oil is cold pressed. What does that mean? That just means it's graphically, if you were to take olive oil and you had a really strong, firm grip, and you could take olives in your hand and you could squeeze them as hard as you could, and out would come water, juice, and some solids. If you could put them in a glass container and just let them sit for 2 days, they would separate because, you know, water is heavier than oil. Oil would float to the top. Solids would go to the bottom. If you could do that in a mechanical way, you're making extra virgin olive oil. If that floating stuff that comes up is less than 1% oleic acid, then you have qualified that as extra virgin olive oil. We don't have refineries in California. People think that we refine oil. There are no refineries now in California. There used to be. When I first started, there was one refinery in Porterville. It's no longer used because no one uses pure olive oil. And for everybody out there that's listening, P-U-R-E means refined. Okay, trust me on that.
Pure oil.
Pure olive oil means, if it's on the can and it says pure, that means it's been refined. It's a refined oil, which means it's cooked, and then a little bit of extra virgin is added back to it to give it a little bit of flavor. So it's cooked because it didn't meet the threshold for extra virgin at 1% or up to 3%, as I told you earlier. It's maybe 6-8%. And it's, how do we get rid of that oleic acid that's way too strong and high? We cook it all out
Now we have zero, basically. We have really nothing. So we just have a viscous material now that we've refined into a greasy viscous material made from olives. So we add back maybe 5% extra virgin olive oil to give it a little bit of a nose, and we call it pure. So pure, bad.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of words that you'll see on olive oils because everybody wants to basically trick the customer. There's, you see, like you said, first pressed.
Exactly. Explain that.
Every olive oil in California that I know of, and I know of a lot of California olive oil manufacturers, there's no way to second press olive oil.
A second pressed olive oil, in my eyes, would be like a pumice oil or something along those lines, because what you get out of the oil is the residual pumice, essentially, which can be used in pharmaceuticals and things like that. And there is pumice oil, but so, first press is everything. It is all first pressed olive oil.
Basically, pumice oil didn't make it, mm-hmm. right? It's the oil that didn't make it. And they make soap out of it, or they make animal products or food products. Here's a real simple explanation. If we picked olives today, you and I went out there and we picked a ton of olives today, and we let them sit for a week in the warehouse, we didn't press them. The press wasn't operating or something was going wrong. The olives would start to decompose, deteriorate. Now we take it to the press and press it. You'd be very lucky to get a 1% or 1% to 3% oleic.
That's what
cover.
A lot of farms do, though, is that they're out there doing their harvest. They might have, 100,000 trees. And if they do their harvest and they put them in 2-ton bins and it's sitting out there in the field, and then they have to transport that bin as far away as they can to get it to the mill, after a day or two, you stick your hand in the middle of a 2-ton thing of olives, and like he said, they're hot and cooking, and it's already no longer going to be able to create extra virgin olive
oil. So we press our oil here mm-hmm. with a portable press. A truck pulls up. It's got a press inside of it. It's a 40-foot truck. It's called Mill on Wheels. Get a little shout-out to Clotilde and Yves. They're the couple own that.
Yeah, I know them.
You know them?
Yeah.
Great couple.
I did. They're great.
Yeah,
I did
great
people. I did a show with them.
Okay. Well, that's the truck that pulls up here. Okay. And then so the day we pick it, we press it.
We call it bin-for-bin pressing. It's so that there's never more than two bins. Once a bin's full, it's put on a truck and brought down to the press that's waiting to press the oil. So the olives are off of the tree for minutes at a time.
Or hours, maybe, in this case.
Yeah.
Kept in the shade and pressed.
In the scheme of olive oil in the world, buyer beware with Italian or Spanish. Not so with California. Explain...
Well,
the higher bar in California.
California sets the bar because of what I kind of just explained to you. In Europe, there's refineries, lots of refineries in Europe, as a matter of fact. They've got a lot of olives there. And so they use their olive oil for, a lot of things, manufacturing and otherwise. In California, I hope we never reach that level. I don't think we will, because we've sort of cultured olive oil to be very similar to our wine industry. We're very proud of it. Number one, all the farmers.
But to be certified in California, you have...
Many people say it's the hardest certification to get in the world. It's not just certified in California, but...
It means something.
COF, California Certified Organic Farmer. They come out, they do soil sample tests, they do water tests. I mean, it takes like 7 years of them testing your property before you even qualify back in the day. And we've been certified for
So I get inspected here. Our company gets inspected here every year by two different... concerns. One is the FDA, mm-hmm. and then the other is California Certified Farmers. So we are a CCOF. We're a California Certified Organic Farm, and that means we're 100% certified for our grow and for our processing and packing. It's one thing to be a certified grower. I'm not saying that's easy, but that's one part of it. But then to be certified as a plant production, that's a whole different ball game.
And there's a million of those certifiers. Yeah. That's there. Everybody in out there claims that they're organic certified. But like I said, there's how many certifiers are there these days? I mean, they all want you to pay the bill and get certified.
There's a lot of certifiers, but there's only certain certifiers that are controlled by our federal government.
Exactly.
Because today, what happened was, in a nutshell, was the organic industry started and had standards. This is back in the 70s, right? The federal government came in the 90s and took over and said, no, we're going to control and regulate what is organic and not organic. So the certifiers and the people that were organic kind of sort of lost it for about a year or two. The federal government, after taking over, they didn't know what they were doing, basically, and they couldn't keep up with it. So they went back to CCOF and Oregon Tilth and these, QIA and these different certifiers and said, hey, help us out. You can become our leg of certification if you meet these certain standards and we can agree on this. So that's what's happened today. So these little certifier organizations are now the certifiers for the federal government.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go, this is so fascinating. We really haven't focused on olives. Yeah. Well, and that's what started it all, wasn't it?
It absolutely was. My mother here, tell us about how we produce our olives a little bit, because she's been in this.
What makes them special? And are they all estate grown? You know, where do you source?
Well, we take a slightly different approach to the olives. As most people out there, when they grew up with the canned olive, and they put one on every finger, and they thought it was great fun. You had it.
It was fun.
Yeah, you had it.
I got pictures of me as a kid.
If you recall and you really actually taste that product, you're going to pick up metal on your palate. That's because that product has been cooked in a can, not really black. They turn it black with an iron product, and then they cook it, and it's just a dead food. So what we do is we actually hand harvest our products, and if we have a black olive, we allow it to ripen on the tree to turn black. We don't pick it green and then artificially turn it black. So we hand harvest our products, and then we use the lowest amount of sea salt allowed by law without using a chemical preservative in curing our products, and we use our own well water, which comes from an aquifer. So everything is vertically integrated, and so that's what makes our products different. We also grow the spices. We hand stuff. We don't use a machine. We're not extruding something and stuffing it into the olive. So everything is hand-stuffed, hand-packed, and hand-picked.
And what's the breadth of your olives that you...
Well, we have everything from a whole olive with a pit with multiple different flavors.
Who puts the thing inside?
That's done by hand. We have... It depends.
Either one of us or a helper.
I've done it myself.
They might be doing it right now.
Yeah, they're actually out there doing it right now. And hand, right. I mean, if garlic is cut by hand too,
everything
is hand.
I got to tell you, we actually, for years, we tried to get a machine that would actually pit and stuff a particulate, because they do it in Spain, but it's a paste. So if you take a pimento stuffed olive that you buy at the store, which everybody sees.
A martini olive.
You pull out that pimento, it's going to be a perfect little shape of a rectangle, and you can take it in your finger and it'll smish and dissolve.
Sodium alginate.
And it's only sodium alginate with food coloring and flavoring.
Yep.
We actually will hand slice and hand stuff it. So one time we even challenged the kids at Caltech. We went and helped to resurrect their olive walk. They have a beautiful olive walk there with trees. And the professor there, he said, well, it was the dean, actually. He challenged them to make olive oil and with these olives. So he said he'd cook them dinner if he could do it. The kids actually ended up doing it, but we challenged them to make a machine that would put a particulate. They couldn't do it either.
Oh,
so if the kids at Caltech can't do it, we can't do it.
The big difference with our olives and everything out there on the market, pretty much all the olives that you see on the shelf right now have been pasteurized in some way. They've been processed in some way. As she said, we only use salt. It takes us much longer. We're talking 8 months, 9 months in a barrel.
Wow.
You know, at minimum, before they're even really edible at that point, and getting rid of so much of that acidity. And then we pack it out with just a little bit of salt water and a little bit of vinegar for a preservative. We don't use any other kind of preservatives. So what you'll notice is that first time somebody tries our olive versus the thing that they've had off the shelf forever, they go, oh my gosh, it's crunchy. You know, olives really do have a texture. They should be crunchy. And there's a unique flavor. Like I said, unfortunately, most people have never tasted what a real olive actually tastes like. They have a nice natural buttery taste to them. Most of the time, you're just tasting the vinegar solution that they've been soaking in for a long time. And the other benefit of that, of the whole traditional long barrel process, is that we actually get a byproduct from that nobody else gets. Our barrels that, you know, those olives have been soaking in for that long, that's actually how we produce our dirty martini mix. So if you're familiar with a dirty martini, a lot of people buy a jar of olives and then they pour the brine out from the olives and they think that that's a dirty martini. It's really not a dirty martini. That's just the salty vinegar water you're adding.
You know, holding brine, not
exactly.
The dirty brine.
So because we take the time to cure the olives in a cure brine, we actually can produce a dirty martini mix.
Make a line of sun-dried black olives, which it's the oldest cure there is. That's one of the only products, by the way, that product, our sun-dried black olive, along with our pitted lemon and pitted herb, are also available at Walmart's in case you want to go take a peek. But the good thing about our olives is the important thing is they're a live food. Since it's not cooked or anything, it's a live food and it's extremely healthy for you.
That's really cool. All right, kids. Well, We could go on all day. This
has been no idea how long you've talked to this family for.
This has been great.
It's all good information. It's all good stuff. You know, it's important for people to be educated and know the truth about extra virgin olive oil and the difference between a canned olive, which we were referring to when we said
that. Yeah, no, I think it's really important. Yeah. It really is.
She mentioned the olives that we put in our jars that are green pitted olives are the exact same olives that we harvest later in the season for our olive oil. And they're the exact same olives that we harvest a little bit later in the season. They actually turn black on the tree, pink, purple, a bunch of different colors. And every green olive that you've ever seen turns black on the tree, Kalamata included. The Kalamata is a green olive on the tree, and it eventually turns black.
Do you have to do some mechanical harvesting, or you all hand labor?
Everything on this property is done by hand. That includes digging up all the pipes and fixing them, harvesting the olives.
It's job security for you.
Too much so. Yeah, there's a reason. If you look at any of our hands, we're farmers.
I fixed a leak 2 weeks ago that I had to personally dig it 30 inches down and find it, and Chad wasn't around, my son, so I'm 65 years old, I'm still digging holes.
Gave birth to Chad, let's see, it was 12:30 in the morning, and so late at night. I was at home by 9 in the morning and doing payroll tax deposits by 10:30 in my office with him at the foot. So Chad's been in this industry a long time. I'm still waiting for my maternity leave, but considering my oldest one's 45 now, I'm pretty sure that ship sailed on me. So
you hear these young people talk about, and the Congress is debating maternity leave right now, you know, 3 months and maybe 6 months, and everybody's complaining because they only get 3 months. My wife never took, and this is the truth, a day, not a day, of maternity leave, nor did I.
Well, it's not too late.
No, we might take it someday.
I was in cribs at trade shows. I've been to more trade shows than most people twice my age.
No maternity leave ever for her, ever.
We're a working family. We get up every day at 6 o'clock in the morning before the sun. Yeah, I wake up. We all wake up before the sun, and we typically are still working in the afternoon.
All right, kids. Well, you know what that means. I'm going to come back for part two.
You got to come back for wine and sitting by the pool and having some olives. I think that's it.
Glad to have you back. Anytime.
What a great day in paradise. To learn more about your world,
please go to olivason.com. You can find all the information you need right on that site.
Spell that.
Olivason is spelled O as in olive, L E as in Edward, A as in Andrew, V as in Victor, I C as in Charles, I N. So again, OLEAVICIN.com. You can also call us here directly at the office.
Your olive
that
world.
covers the Olivason brand. If you'd like to learn more about our olive company, you go to CA as in California, coastnaturals.com. So CA coastnaturals, that's plural.com, and you can certainly learn anything about our family and our history on that site as well. Or just give us a call here at the office and ask us directly, and we'll answer any question you need. My name is Chad McKella.
Hi, I'm Craig McKella. I think Chad covered it pretty well. You want to go on any social media site, and you'll find Olivason and California Coast Naturals. And we abbreviate it CA Coast Naturals on the website if you want to find it. And Naturals is plural, as Chad said. So CACoastNaturals.com, Olivason.com. And you go to those two websites, or as Chad said, call us on the phone. We'll be happy to talk to you. So cool. Here is my wife.
And Galita, I'd love to talk to you. My name is Cindy McKella. Like us on Facebook and check us out on Instagram.
And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the rural mountains near Santa Barbara. We'll see you here.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolff, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives. And Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust preservation initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
Soy yo, el que usted conoce.